From Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Barbara.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Paquette, and I'm the Director of Student Ministries here, and I'm excited to be with you this morning. If you have a moment, you can flip to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be diving into that section of Scripture this morning. But first, if you will pray with me, that'd be great. Lord, thank you so much for this morning, for us being alive and in this room together and online, just to be able to come together, to be in your word, to worship you. Let your spirit do what only it can do. Let it speak to our hearts and our minds, and let us obey and listen to you in a mighty way. In your name we pray. Amen. In 2018, Category 5 Hurricane Michael made landfall on Mexico Beach and the Florida Panhandle. With catastrophic winds of 160 miles per hour, there was complete damage everywhere. Houses were obliterated. 8 direct fatalities were reported with the storm, and 43 indirect fatalities reported. Very few things survived the storm, except one house that remained almost completely intact. Let's take a look. This house became well known because, as you can see, all the things around it have been gone. And here it stands. And the hotels that you see in the background, they're missing their roofs. But this house only had minimal damage. When the owners were asked, why did your house survive? They explained, we put a lot of work into it and paid attention to every detail from the ground up. From pilings to the roof, when it came time to make a decision on what materials to use, we went above and beyond code. We asked the question, what would survive the big one? The code in Mexico Beach was to build a house to withstand 120 mile per hour winds. The owners built this house to withstand 240 mile per hour winds. The entire house was built atop of 40 foot tall pilings to allow for storm surge. Its walls were made of poured concrete reinforced by rebar. They had steel cables from the girders above the pilings that ran through the roof and down the back wall. Talk about some solid, solid building. The owner wanted to put a balcony on one side of the house, but the engineers said, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. So no balcony. They changed some of their wants to keep in line with making it a hurricane standing house. They said a lot of our friends criticized us for not putting more windows in, but we decided on investing in fewer but stronger windows to make it a hurricane standing house. You see, if you ask the owners of this house, they would say it's no coincidence it was still standing. They designed it to do just that. So how about us? How are we designing our house? And I'm not talking about our houses that we go home to at night. While I'm sure they are quite lovely, I am talking about our house, our lives, the one unique, individual, precious life that we each get to live. In our passage today, we are at the very end of the sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' first teaching as he began his ministry. We see in Matthew chapters 1 through 4 his birth. We see his baptism. We see him tempted in the desert. We see him calling his disciples. And in fact, we see in the end of Matthew chapter 4, many people, crowds from all over, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, they're all following him. They're not the kind of crowds that you would expect. They're just mobs of people that are drawn to Jesus and what he's doing. And so in chapter 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he goes up on the mountaintop with his disciples, and the crowds are following. And he begins his sermon. And he starts with the Beatitudes, which are a whole meaty thing to study on their own. But he begins with the Beatitudes very intentionally, because with these, he's discussing the kingdom in a different way. He's calling out those who are blessed, who have the good life, who are in awe. And they're not who you would normally think. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And he goes on and on. And as they're sitting there, they're realizing, he's talking about me. I'm that person he's saying it's for. So they're drawn in already, because they're like, whoa, for once, Jesus, like, he's talking about me. I'm included in this hope. And then he goes on, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Shine before others so that they can see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. And he keeps going. He says, I didn't come to get rid of the law that you've been studying and taught. I came to fulfill it. He goes a little deeper. He goes into the core. He says, you've heard it said in the law, don't commit murder. But I tell you that if you are angry with your brother and sister, you are subject to judgment. You have heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at someone lustfully, you've committed adultery with your heart. He talks about divorce, and he talks about being true to your word and oaths and letting your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't take revenge. He talks about loving your enemies and praying for them and giving to the needy. He teaches them how to pray. He tells them, don't store up treasures on earth, but only in heaven. Don't judge people. Look at the plank out of your own eye. He's going and he's saying, this is hard stuff. This is hard stuff. And he knows that, because then he gets to chapter 7, verse 13, and says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He talks about true and false prophets. Keep an eye out. Look at their fruit. True and false disciples. He says in 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. This is a packed sermon. Packed. Can you imagine going to lunch after this? It's loaded. It's loaded. And then he gets to the end, because he's not done yet. In chapter 7, verse 24, therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in scripture, you need to see what it's there for, right? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice. He ends his Sermon on the Mount, all of these teachings, with clear instruction and a warning. If you have been hearing anything I've said in all this time, then put it into practice, and you will be like a wise man that built his house on a firm foundation. And when the storms and the wind came, it stayed standing. But if you don't put them into practice, you will be like a foolish person who built their house on sand. And when the winds and the rain came, it fell. In the Gospel of Luke, in the same parallel version, he starts that part off saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it, because the house was well built. Put them into practice, and dig down deep. Just like the owners of the house in Florida, they had to be intentional. They had to prepare. They had to go above and beyond. They had to make some sacrifices and hard choices. They even had to face criticism from other people. But you know what? It paid off, because their house was strong during the storm. And that is an important thing for us to realize in this scripture. Who gets hit by the storm? Both of them. Yeah, both of them. The wise and the foolish builder get hit by the storm. Jesus does not paint a false picture that following him will be easy. He is saying life is going to be hard, whether you follow me or not. And when those storms come, your foundation will be revealed. And how do I do that? How do I build? How do I build it? He says it. Put my words into practice. Hear God's words. Obey God's words. This is a running theme we see throughout Scripture. It's not a surprise. From the very beginning in Genesis, God says to them, "Do not eat the fruit." Throughout all of the Old Testament, we see different things of him calling for people's obedience. We see in Psalms, the psalmist write, "How do I keep my way pure? By living according to your words. Do not let me stray from your commands." And in James 1, 22 through 25, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's word teaches us, corrects us, trains us, and equips us to do his work, to build our houses. Recently, my family and I went on a spring break trip to the West. As part of our trip, we got to go on an exciting off-roading adventure in Moab, Utah. We rented a Bronco from a company that rents them specifically to go off-roading on trails. And with this Bronco came this handy-dandy off-roading trail guidebook. This guidebook was pure gold. It told you so many essential things. First of all, it told you what trails were easy, intermediate, and difficult. Very important for someone that doesn't usually off-road in Moab, Utah. It also told you which trails to stay completely away from. And the best part, it had specific instructions for every trail. For instance, at the beginning of the trail, set your odometer to zero. Mile 1.2. Rock on right, steep incline, stay left. Mile 2.3. Sharp descending switchback begins. Boulder in road. Continue straight. You will fit under it. Talk about faith. We're like, okay, the book says it. So there we go. We pored over this book, followed it mile by mile, checked it out, knew this book. We didn't go anywhere without this book in my hand and open. Did it guarantee we would have no problems? No. But it sure did equip us and make sure we were ready. And we had an incredible time with no problems. And we followed that book. Do you see where I'm going here? We have a book. We have a book. And the more we know it, oh boy, the adventures it'll take us on. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is that Word. And in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, we have Jesus giving his words, God's words. And he sums all of those words up with, do it. Don't just listen to my words, do them. Life is going to be hard. There are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be switchbacks and sharp turns that we didn't see coming. There's going to be boulders in the middle of the road that we're like, how am I supposed to get through this, God? And Jesus is saying, listen to me. Hear my voice. Obey my voice. We are going to get through this. Keep straight. Keep straight. And sometimes we wonder, how did I get here? And Jesus is like, if you don't listen, you're going to be like a fool building on sand. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life building on sand. Knowing the way of Jesus is not the same as living it. The house may be very impressive. We may have a great location and a well-manicured lawn, but the storms will reveal what we're building on. Jesus was the perfect example of building and being obedient to his Father. Philippians 2:8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And why did he do it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He did it for us, from his love for us. And as we hear God's word and put it into practice, do you know what happens? Storms come. Storms come. We will get that health diagnosis. We will lose a loved one. But those that mourn will be comforted. He will strengthen you. We will have times where our integrity is tested and you will be tempted to lie and to cheat. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your light shine before men so people can glorify God in heaven. Live a life of integrity and character. We will be tempted to let bitterness grow root and take revenge. Oh, but don't take revenge. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Go the extra mile and give them your coat. And we're going to worry. There are things that happen in this life that we just don't have any control of and we don't see coming. But don't worry. The God who clothes the grass and takes care of the birds takes care of you. How do I know this? Because Matthew 5 through 7 says it. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said it. And this whole book is God's word, living and breathing and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And it is our blueprint to build our house. And what I love is that Jesus says at the end of the sermon, he's saying, therefore, put it into practice. He says, practice it. He knows that we're going to fail. He knows we're not going to get it perfect, but practice it. If I want to learn how to play an instrument, it's not going to work out well for me if I just buy the sheet music and the instrument and it sits there. I need to practice it over and over and over again until I build the calluses, until I make enough mistakes that I learn to, hey, this is what I got to do. And we got to do it with the word. Practice it every day, over and over. And as we practice it, our trust in him grows. Our relationship with him grows. And our love for him grows and grows and grows. And you know what else? People will see it. Let's take another look from a different angle of our house. You see that structure behind our house? I know nothing about that structure. I know a lot about the big house, but not anything about that little house. What I do know is everything around it is gone. I know that the big, solid hotels and condos are missing their roofs. But that structure is still standing and it has its roof. And I have a good feeling it's still standing because of the way the house was built in front of it. How we build our houses and how we live our lives and our faith will reveal what we're built on when the storms come, and people see that. How we live our life through the storm, oh, may it reveal Jesus. Right? It doesn't happen by coincidence. It takes obedience. It takes hard work. It takes commitment. It takes intentionality. It takes sacrifice. It takes making some tough choices. It takes maybe getting criticized by people, by the choices we make. But therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, those are the wise ones building on a firm foundation. At the end of this big sermon, it ends in Matthew 7, verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed at his teaching. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus' desired outcome was. I think he wanted them to do it.